Revelations chapter 5. It's good to have Juan with us this morning as well. Bless you, bud. Revelations chapter 5. Everybody likes finding the book of Revelations, right? We all know where that one's at. Right there at the end. Revelations chapter 5. We're going to read this whole chapter here. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within, and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book, to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven, nor on earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof." And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts of the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands. Can you picture this going on right now? 10,000 times 10,000, thousands of thousands. Talk about a rejoicing fit. Verse 12, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." Wow. "And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever." And the four beasts said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. I like to preach this morning, and he shall be called the breach. He shall be called the breach. This will make more sense when we start getting into this. Let's bow our heads together. If you have a need, I pray you just lift it up to the Lord this morning. I believe he can speak through the word. We're not here necessarily just to hear my voice. We're here to hear God's voice. Use my lips and speak to us. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to serve you again. We pray that every thought, every word, every action that we would do contrary to your word would leave this building. Lord, every foul spirit that would make us think of the things of the world or what have we got to do the rest of today or maybe tomorrow, I pray those leave, that you might have the preeminence this morning. We've gathered into your house, Lord Jesus, to have fellowship with you. And I pray, Lord, as I submit myself, that you might speak through me. I pray you open all of our ears to hear what you have to say. And may it just take root in our hearts and change us from where we are right now to where we ought to be, to bring us closer to you, Father. Lord, as any real Christian would, we want to be more like you all the time. We ask that you forgive us where we failed, that you would take it far away from us by your precious blood. Lord, and fill us anew with the Holy Ghost and fire this morning. We commit this service in your hands, Lord. May you just have all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus Christ's name we ask it. Amen. You may be seated. Those you might not know, Brother Branham one time preached, before he preached the seven seals, he preached the breach between the seven church ages and the seven seals, and that's pretty much where I got my thought for this. Let's read verse 1 again. Pay attention to, we got a lot to go through. Maybe the Lord willing, I won't go too long. I tend not to go too long, I don't think. Brother Kent, you can handle me, right? I appreciate that. But verse 1 here. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within, and on the backside sealed with seven seals. So to think that the Almighty God, it says that he was sitting on a throne. And this was obviously the scene in heaven. The Supreme God, the one that created the heavens and earth, the one that created every one of us, was sitting on a throne. And he had a book in his hand that was so important, he had it sealed seven times. To think, why would the Almighty God have a book next to him that he wanted to protect so much that he sealed it with seven seals? We'll find out what this book is here in a minute. But as he sat on the throne, he was the holy God. There was no sin in him. He had never done any faults or failures. And since we are sinful creatures, born in sin, shaped in iniquity, coming to the world speaking lies, our first nature is to automatically do things that are wrong. Did any one of your parents ever teach you how to lie? Anybody? You just knew how to lie. Did any of your parents teach you how to steal? I sure hope they did, and they weren't very good parents. But we didn't have to learn those things. How many told you how to curse and do all those things? No, you learned that from the world. You learned that from your first nature. God has never dealt with any of those things because he's never a sinner. He's never needed redeemed. We're the ones that need redeemed. So as he sat on the throne holy, and we were down there unholy, we couldn't approach him. We were sealed off from him. And that's what caused the breach between us. A breach, if you need to know what that is. As a noun, it's an act of breaking or failing to observe a law. Anybody broke the laws of God recently? Well, there you go. That's a breach between you and him. It's the act of failing or observe a law, an agreement, or a code of conduct. It means a break, a violation, a gap, an infringement, an infraction. So this breach that was between God and man was because of sin. Because in the Garden of Eden, God came down to Adam and Eve and said, "Do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For the day you eat, that day you die." And God lives forever. He has nothing to do with death.
Right.
He's always existed. He'll never die. He'll never cease to exist. So death was a condition outside of himself. Because God is the fountain of eternal life.
Amen.
And the only way you'll ever have eternal life is if you're in him. Because there ain't nowhere else to get it. But the day they eat, he said, that day you die. That caused the breach between God and man. So God said over here, a holy God. And here we sat as an unholy people. And man's always desire has been, how do I get back? I'm stuck down here. How do I get back? Amen. And if you look through the Bible, man's tried every way he can think of to get his way back. We try to be good enough. You'll fail every time. We try to be Christian enough. You realize you ain't no Christian to start off with. You're a sinner. And it's so easy to be a sinner, ain't it? It's just like going down on a river. You want to go upstream? You got to paddle. You got to struggle. You got to push. But if you just let go and let it sweep you right off, it ain't no trouble. You just go that way, no problems at all. And that's the way it is with sin, ain't it? If you just let it coast and say, I'm not going to pray today. I'm not going to do nothing. I'm just going to sit here. I'm going to take a nap. I'm not going to do nothing. I'm not even going to worry about God. Oh, it'd be so easy just to float off. But there's something in a Christian don't let you go that way, because the end of floating off that way is a hill that'll lead you right into the pits of hell. And we don't want to go that way, I believe, this morning. Anybody want to head that way? No, sir. Good. Praise the Lord. So there was a gap between God and man. And we needed something to connect us back to God. And that's where we come into the scriptures here. What was this book in the right hand of the Father on the throne? Brother Bram says in the breach. Well, almost all my quotes are going to be from the breach, so please listen carefully. Paragraph 118. What is the book of redemption? This title deed. Abstract title deed. That's what this book is in his hand. It's the book of redemption. You say abstract. What does an abstract mean? It means it searched all the way back to its beginning. Like that little drop of ink this morning when it struck that bleach, it went all the way back. So what is this saying? Is this record that he has in his hand goes before anything ever happened. And God had already determined in his mind who's saved and who's not. He already determined who's part of his family and who ain't. He already determined that way back then. And we fell into a pit of sin and we got away from the abstract deed. It's just like buying a house. You buy a house from a bank, you don't own the house. The bank owns the house. You might have a piece of paper that says you're allowed to live there, but that ain't the abstract yet. That's just a title to show that you own the house temporarily. But if you don't start making payments, the abstract takes care of that one, and they'll take it back from you, and they got the house now. It's the same with us. Oh, we're down here in a pit of sin, and we got a title deed that says we're sinner. But if you'll get rid of that, let the blood take that away, it'll trail you back to where you were before the foundation of the world. How many believes you were there with God Almighty? That's what we've been talking about the last few weeks. That's what this abstract title deed is. Now watch what happens when you confess your sins. When you get your sins back in the blood, watch what's supposed to happen. I pray this ain't boring you this morning. And when sin has been confessed and fallen into the blood of Jesus Christ, oh my, it gives an abstract right back to the Creator again. And you become a son of God. Abstract title deed is held in the right hand of the Almighty. Oh my, its redemption means all legal possession to all that was lost by Adam and Eve. Oh my, what ought that to do to a born-again Christian? to think. Do we know what happened to Adam in the Garden of Eden? We read the Bible and there's not a whole lot there to say what he did. But Brother Branham says that when he was in the Garden of Eden, he was God on the earth. That he saw a tree and says, I don't like that tree there. I'm going to move it over there. And it would obey him. Say, tree, move. Say, that wind's a little too blowy. Wind, stop. Cool down a little bit. Okay, that's good. 3 miles an hour. You probably had a better unit then. Said, I'm a little warm. Let's cool it down a little bit. You know, sun, go ahead and go down a little ways. Let's make it nice and cooler. That's what he lived like.
Yes.
Just to think. And that's what he did when he had the deed in his hand.
Right. Amen.
The day that Adam sinned. Coming out of the breach again here. It says, now when Adam sinned by heeding his wife's reasoning. So remember that Eve is the one that came to him. When God said, don't eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Eve's the one that went ahead and partook with Satan. And they came over to Adam and says, hey, why don't you try this too? And he said, I'll do it. He knew what he was doing. He knew it was wrong, but he did it anyhow. When he heeded to his wife's reasoning, instead of holding to God's word, that's what made Adam sin. His wife reasoned with Satan and then produced the product of Adam. And Adam turned loose the word and sold out. So we have the word that we're desiring to be, the word that Christ was when he came. He had it and he sold it out.
Amen.
He lost also his inheritance when he lost his fellowship and right to life. Remember, the day you eat thereof, that day you die. And when he lost his life, he lost also his inheritance in life because he had supreme control of the earth. He was a god of the earth. God's the god of the universe everywhere. But his son had this earth under his control. He could speak, he could name, he could say, he could stop nature. He could do anything he wanted to do. Don't you want to be in this condition where you can do whatever you want to do? How many of you want to be refreshed right now, but you're too tired, you didn't get no sleep? You can't do what you want to do. Adam didn't feel that.
No, he didn't.
He never got tired. He never got weary. He never got hungry. How many's hungry and wants to go to lunch? I hope you're not thinking about that right now. Maybe you were. Deal with that when it gets here. But Adam didn't have to feel those things. If he wanted food here, let's just speak it. Let's get a couple grapes. We'll bring it right here, right now. And to think that's the condition he lived in. And he sold it out for his wife's reasoning. He lost his inheritance. Now Adam could say, we just read this, let this mountain be moved over there and it would do it. Adam could say, let this tree here be plucked up and planted over there. It would do it. For he had complete supreme control as a minor god under God our Father because he was a son of God. Now can we stop here a minute and get a real sermon? Oh, then if the blood has cleansed it back, what about now? What about now? See, look what the Son of God, the second Adam, did and said, the works that I do shall you do also. Amen. So this blood has came. How many of you know that Jesus Christ died 2,000 years ago and spilled his blood for our sins? Yeah, it's the story. It's the old story that most of us know. But what did that mean? Look, there was a reason he was called the second Adam, the last Adam. Because the first Adam walked on earth with supreme control. He could do whatever he wanted to. When Jesus Christ came, he was showing that he is doing the same thing that Adam was doing. Mm-hmm. But what was the difference? His sin had come into the picture. Adam was up here, living in that realm of perfect faith, living in that realm of perfect joy, perfect happiness. The second he sinned, he dropped down as a mortal. And now he had to feel pain. Now he had to go toil and go to work all the time. Adam knows what you do when you go to work. He felt the same way. He wasn't used to that. We don't like going to work. It don't matter even if you have a job you like. Eventually you don't want to get him go. Right. You just want to do what you want to do.
Right.
But you can't do that now because we're in a realm of sin. We're in a world of sin. We're in Laodicea, the worst age has ever been. And Adam dropped down into this realm. And he had to feel the same. Imagine what he felt like that first day. Imagine, do you think he repented of what he did? I'm sure he did. Because he realized what had happened. And look, when he fell, we fell with him.
Right.
Why? Because he's our father. Right. You trail it back, we all got some lineage back to Adam.
Sure.
And to think, I'm trying not to get ahead of myself here. Let's go back to our scripture reading. So this book that's in the right hand of God, at one time, Adam was able to access this. He was able to walk in it. Then it went back to the Creator because he had sinned. Verse 2. Now watch this. Imagine, just picture yourself sitting there now. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice. If you saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, you think you'd do anything? I would probably be like this in a fetal position, ready to run out of that place in no time. And he proclaims with a strong voice and says, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And good thing to know that no man was being a hypocrite that day. So what does it say in verse 3? And no man in heaven, nor in the earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. So they must have been doing what I just said. They must have been cowering away and saying, I don't even want to look that way, because I'm afraid I'm going to die. Remember what Manoah said, Samson's father, when they saw the angel come down, and the angel went up into the fire, he said, we've seen God, we're going to die.
Right.
But his wife said, why would God have shown these things if he was going to die, if he was going to make us die? They knew. You don't come to a holy God with sin in your life. And I pray it's the same this morning. Don't you come before a holy God with sin in your life and hold on to that. You'll reap for it. God is a holy God. He doesn't want any sin in us. But on this day, the strong angel proclaims that somebody should be worthy to open this book, and there ain't no man to find. And that's why in verse 4, John, it says, and I wept much. Because no man was found worthy to open the book, to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And this is where we get the condition of where mankind was at. All mankind, the second Adam sold out, all mankind went to this state of not being worthy to talk to God no more. And to think, that's why we were even created. God made us to have fellowship with us. And because of sin, because of one day a man thought, I can reason with God's word, and maybe it'll work out all right. One day, that's all it took. And it cursed the whole human race and everything underneath of it. That's why the plants die. That's why the animals die. That's why nothing happy. Because of man.
Yep.
And this caused the breach between us. Between us and our Creator. But there's a reason Jesus is called the breach between God and man. Because who was Christ? That's the greatest revelation you could ever have, besides that you're saved. Is who is Jesus Christ. And I don't even know how you can get saved if you don't know who He is. Verse 5. Stay with me now. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. So we know that this is Christ. This is speaking of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came, He died, and when He went up there, He was able to take the book and to redeem us.
Right.
Because all of our names were in that book. Do you believe that? That's what this book is. That's why nobody could read it, because then we would know who was saved. But you can't read the book unless you're worthy to take the book.
Uh-huh.
And as God the Father is the only one that could know, because even Jesus said, I don't even know when He was on earth. So only the Father knows. He couldn't do it. But after He died for sin, living a sinless life that none of us could, He rose again on the third day. He went up. Now watch what this says here. It's very, very particular, and I want to emphasize this. Verse 6, and I beheld, now look, and lo, in the midst of the throne. You know what midst means? It means in the middle of it. In the middle of the throne stood a Lamb. So who is Jesus Christ? We always think, oh, it was God the Father, this big old mean guy, that if you sin, you're dead, I'm going to kill you. And then He sent His Son, who had mercy on us, and came and said, no, I'm coming to save you. And we think they're two different people. That's not what it just said. It said that God stood in the throne, and the angel proclaimed over here and said, who's worthy to take this book? And it says the Lamb stood out of the throne, which means God Himself is the one that became the Lamb. Jesus Christ was not a lesser God. He was God. Made flesh. Because the Bible didn't say, let me find a God that's worthy to take this book. Let me find an angel that's worthy to take this book. Maybe the angels could have even looked at it. But they couldn't take it because they weren't men. It said, I need a man to take this book that's worthy. And there wasn't no man found anywhere. So God decided, I'll become the man. I'll become the second Adam. I'll become the last Adam and redeem my fallen race. And He stood out of the throne. God the Spirit became God flesh. God the man. And God the man turned around bleeding, bloody. Remember, it caught Him the Lion because He knew who He was. They knew He was God the Father made flesh. He was the Lion. And what does a lion do? It conquers. When a lion roars, everybody else shuts up. So when God came forth to become flesh and to die for us, it said He was the Lion. But watch the character of God. He's so humble that even though He's the Lion, He's the Creator of the heavens and earth, He became a lamb. You watch a lamb die one time, it's the most pathetic thing you'll ever see in your life. It don't fight, it don't kick, it don't scream, it just lays there and dies. We struggle for life. We're always trying to do it our own way. The lamb knows the Creator's got it all in control. If I'm supposed to die, I guess I'm supposed to die.
Hallelujah.
And that's the way we ought to be. The Bible says we're as sheep led to the slaughter, which means we should be in such a perfect faith that we're walking right in the valley of shadow of death. I'm a sheep and there's a 500 wolves right around me. It don't matter. If God wants me to die, I'll die. If I don't, He'll protect me. Right? As they'll come to get me, the shepherd will come lock that wolf on the head. I don't got to worry about that.
Amen.
Oh, I just love this. Verse 6 again, let's read this. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne. So He came out of the throne. And out of the four beasts in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits sent into all the earth. And He came and took the book out of the right hand of Him that sat on the throne. So as Adam had taken the book and forfeited it, it couldn't go to Satan. Satan couldn't have no claims on it. Satan could have claims on the earth now. Satan is allowed to rule on this earth. How many of you know that? When Jesus was tempted up on the pinnacle of the temple, or shortly after that, He said, "I'll give you all the kingdoms of the earth, Jesus. I will give you everything," because He's in control of the earth. But He's not in control of the sons of God, and He never was. He never will be. That's what this book's about. It's not about this fallen earth. It's about the earth that God had in His mind before the foundation of the world, the Garden of Eden that they lived in. We are going back to that same condition. That's what this book is talking about. And it was bound by seven seals. But the Lamb stood up out of the throne. He turned around, bloody, covered for your sin. That's why He was bloody. We need to take this a little bit more seriously sometimes. It's not just some good fairy tale. It's the truth.
Amen.
Every lashing He had was because of my sin.
Amen.
And I'm supposed to love Him, and I let that happen to Him because of my own stupidity. And what do you think Adam felt like when He sold us all out? That's why we're saved by grace. Don't bring no merit to God. Don't even try it.
Amen.
Saying, "God, I'm a wretch. I need Your blood. I'm so sorry for that filth I did." Then you'll get a conversion. Then you'll be partakers of this book here. We'll get to in a minute. And He came and He took the book out of His hand. So the God that had the book, it was no longer just God that had the book. It was man now had the book again. Because Christ had it in His hand. And He was a man. Listen to this out of the breach. Notice, the law required a kinsman redeemer to redeem a lost substance. Grace met this requirement in the person of Jesus Christ. A kinsman must be born of the human race. Skipping down. Law required a kinsman redeemer. Now, He couldn't take an angel. He had to have a man. Because we're not kin to an angel. We're kin to one another. So to think that an angel... How many know that angels are holy? Angels ain't never sinned. They've been in the presence of God. The fallen angels have, but that's not who He's talking about. He's talking to the angels up there. And the angels up there might have been able to look at that book. Remember, but He said no man could take that book. They might have been holy, but that wasn't what we needed. We needed somebody that was kin to us. Somebody that knew what it was like to be in a sinful condition. And that's why Christ, the Almighty God, think how He felt when He woke up and realized, I can't do everything I want to. This is what they feel like. Now we know in His mind He knew all about it, but now He got to feel it. He got to experience it firsthand. You know, you can read about dynamite all day. You might learn a little bit. You want to learn a lot faster? Go light a stick one time. You learn about dynamite a lot faster. Read books about it.
Yeah.
And it's the same one taking on human flesh. God said, I'm going to show them. I'm going to take it on myself. I watched this fall. I let it happen, not because I was willing, but because I didn't want to. He's not going to have robots. He's not going to make you a robot. You're not going to wake up one day and all of a sudden, oh, I don't got no bad thoughts. I just do everything right no more. No, that's a robot. You're going to always be presented with good and evil. And the choice you have is what you take. You say, well, I always want to choose bad. Yeah, that's right. Yield to Christ. Yield to the Lamb that's within you. And He'll always walk the good way. He'll always do what He's supposed to
Hallelujah.
Do.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Now notice, required a kinsman redeemer. And the redeemer, kinsman redeemer, must be born of the human race. And that's why Christ came. Here that leaves us on a limb. That breach before us. We were out here. We were going to die. We were going to be done for. That left us out here on a limb. But let me sound the trumpet to you. The virgin birth produced the product. Amen. The virgin birth produced our kinsman redeemer. None other but Almighty God become Emmanuel. One of us. Emmanuel. The kinsman redeemer was meant. You see how God makes the requirement and then there's nothing we can do. But the grace steps in and overshadows that law and produces the product. That's the whole point. What did He say in the Garden of Eden to Adam? The day you eat, that day you die. And as far as any of us would thought, it's over. We're done. We're going to die. But grace stepped in and says, I know I said that, and it's true, but I'm going to come and take your place because I'm the only one worthy, and I'm going to bring you out of that condition to what it was before we even fell in the first place. Oh, I guess that's boring to us this morning. Do you realize this is the whole story? This is what it's all about. There's nothing else to preach. We were sinners lost, captive by the devil, and it took a man to come down here and live a perfect life. And ain't none of us able to do it, but he did it. God stepped down himself and took our place so that we could be like him. And that's what's happening here. That's what this book was all about.
Yes, sir.
Let me read this again here. And God, the creator of spirit, became kinfolks to us when he became man in order he could take our sin upon him and pay the price and redeem us back to God again. There it is. There is the Redeemer. Christ has redeemed us now. We are now redeemed, but he has not claimed his possession yet. That's why you still fight. That's why you still struggle even after you're born again. It's because though he's claimed you, though he's named you. Remember, we talked about adoption. He's already placed you as a son when you're born again. But you can't manifest everything you want to because you're still tired. You're still sinning. You still make mistakes because of this body you live in. But that day that Christ will take that book, when it's all said and done, all that's done away with. Every other thing you ever did, yeah, there's a recording angel taking tabs on your life. But when you get in the blood of Christ, that book is taken and thrown into the sea of forgiveness.
Amen.
God don't even look at it no more.
Yes, Lord,
he looks at what you were in him. Perfect.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Remember we preached on last Wednesday, perfect by election.
Perfect. Amen.
You're only perfect if you can identify that God has chosen you. Amen. You said, how do I know God has chosen me? Have you received the Holy Ghost or not?
Yes.
If you've never received the Spirit of God, you have no witness to know if you're saved or not. You have no witness to know if you're a son or daughter of God or not. If you've never been born again, you have no identification. You're walking around with blinders on. You're never going to know. But that day when you meet Christ and you die to what you were, you die to that old sinner and the inner man comes up and Christ takes the throne of your heart. You're born again in the Spirit of God. That's when you have an evidence to say, I'm in the book.
Amen. Glory. Glory. Hallelujah.
Oh, and I just so, if I could just get it the way I see it. Lord, help me, Jesus. Let's go to verse 8. I'm going to show you how important this was to God to get us to get this part of the message to us. Verse 8. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And we don't think our prayers mean nothing. They're right there. Every one of those. They're an odor that God can smell because they smell so good to him. You ever had a nice fragrance that you like and it's all in the room? God has a whole bunch of this from every prayer that we say.
Amen.
Every time we ask him to do anything for another person or another brother or that he might receive glory in his life, it's just a sweet smelling savior to him. He loves it. Verse 9. They watched redemption come to pass, and they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Now, if you look at verse 8, it says, when he had taken the book, the 24 elders fell down and the four beasts. And Brother Branham said one time, they had asked him, and I'm going to read this here in a minute, they had asked him the question, is this the redeemed or not? Is this the bride of Christ in this passage we just read? Are they the ones singing this song? And the first response Brother Branham says is no. Now let me read this to you. Let me show you how important this is to God. Coming out of questions and answers is that same question. No, Revelation 5, if you notice, they're not the saints. He has never claimed his property yet. See, this is not the saints, if you notice. They're the elders and the beasts, and they sing. You see that? He said it's not the saints, it's the elders and the beasts. We know that the beasts were the four anointings on the church, and the elders were the 12 patriarchs and the 12 apostles. And that leaves us out to dry, don't it?
Right.
We're not part of this song. That's what he thought. Now watch. I'm skipping down. There's a lot in between there. Brother Branham tries to go to another question, and he keeps stuttering and going. And then he says this, he says, there's something wrong. There's something wrong. See, he'd answer that question saying that the saints aren't in this song. And then he turned around and the Holy Spirit's convicted him saying there's something wrong here. I'm going to read this now. Now, that's just all there is to it. There's something happened, see? There's something that went wrong somewhere. Everybody feeling all right? There's no sickness or nothing? And then a man gets up and says, read your scripture again. He says, let's see, Revelation, where was it, brother? 5? Oh, the question I was answering. Now, let's see. And when he had the book, the four beasts, and this is that scripture again, and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sang a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain. And I love this. He goes, here it is. Here it is. I was wrong on that. To think that people want to worship Brother Branham like he's the Almighty all by himself. He depended on the Holy Ghost just like all of us do. He was sitting there. He tried to answer this question. He had been sitting in a room for 6 days. All he did was pray for services. That's all he did. And finally, a tired out man gets up there and he's trying his best to answer this question the right way, and he messed it up. But grace stepped in and said, no. You might have messed. Remember, God let him say 7,000 instead of 700.
Sure did.
But he didn't let him make this mistake. He said, no. This is too important. Anybody that's spiritual knows that Brother Branham meant to say 7,000 instead of 700. And if you didn't, you're just foolish. Quit making up stupid stuff like that. But if you come back, God said, no. This must be said the right way. And he says, again, right there in that verse, I'm telling you right where he changes is right here. He says, I was wrong on that. See, thou hast redeemed us. What does redeem mean? To be bought back. And if they're singing that he's redeemed us and the saints aren't part of that, who's getting redeemed then? The only ones redeemed are the saints. So they had to be sitting there singing this song. Thou hast redeemed us.
Amen.
To God by the blood out of every kindred. That's right. Now what do you think about that? Oh, if the presence of the Holy Ghost isn't here, what is? He wouldn't. See, I only read the first part of that verse. See, it's just something wrote over here. And I was trying to get through and looking at the clock. But you see, he stopped me on that. Glory. I never read the other part of that. See, I got here and looky here. And they sang a new song and I stopped. See, but look here. The song they sang, saying, you have redeemed us out of every kindred tongue and nation. Sure, that's them. Oh my. Oh my. Look how important this was to God. See, this book was lost in the church ages. That's why this message is called the breach between the seven church ages and the seven seals. Before the message came, we were stuck over here, had no connection back to the Almighty. They thought he was just the Son of God. Christ is way up here and we are way down here. There was a breach between us and God in the church ages due to false doctrine. Because we know back in Paul's day, they had this. They had the redemption because Christ had already died and fulfilled it.
Amen.
And they had been partakers of it. And we're partakers in this day, but I'll get to that in a minute. They had it back in that day. But because of false teaching, they lost it.
Amen.
They lost the revelation of it. They didn't know what that book was about anymore. They'd read this book of Revelations, it means nothing. When they lost the revelation of what it was talking about. But God comes back and he makes the breach come, which connects the seven church ages, the people of God, back to the seven seals, which the seven seals is the revelation of who we are. That's what it's all about. Right. It's about Christ revealing himself. And where are you? If you're a Christian, you're in Christ.
Amen.
You're a part of him.
Glory.
Where did every part of Eve come from? Adam.
Amen.
And he took a rib out and he formed a body out of that. That's where Eve came from. And if we're the bride of Christ, every part of us came from him.
Every part.
That's what these seals were about. That book had all of our names on it. Why do you think these things had to come? Why do you think serpent seed had to be revealed? To show that you're not part of the sinner seed. You're not part of the serpent seed. You're part of God's seed.
Amen.
Why do you think water baptism had to be the right way? Because before we thought, oh, the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Three things that detach us from God. Oh, he's the Father. He's up there and I'm down here. Or he's the Son and he's the Son of God and I can't approach him. He's too holy. Or he's the Holy Ghost. And I tell you what, I don't know what they believed the Holy Ghost was before the revelation came. I don't know what the wind or something. I don't know. But he said, no, not the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. There's a name behind all those titles, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And that had to be revealed because that's our name.
Amen.
That's the family name.
Yes,
all the family in heaven and earth is glory. Named Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And that's why it had to be restored. We had no identification. We're walking around. Imagine if you tried to walk around in this life and live without a name.
Yeah.
What would you do? I don't know who I am. Imagine if you had amnesia and you forgot every day of your life who you were, what you were doing. I think a lot of Christians walk around that way, don't we?
Sure.
Oh, I slipped up. I don't remember my name no more. Am I Christ or not? What am I?
Oh, I'm a sinner again.
No, you ain't. You're one of two. That's why you're either serpent seed or you're God's seed.
Amen.
And if God's giving you the Holy Ghost, He's showing you where you are. You're over here. You have to be there. Your name was revealed out of this book.
Amen.
And to think of the revelation they had, they sang a new song, which means they'd recognize, oh, we've been redeemed. Amen. I don't have to say, oh, you know, Lamb of God, thou come, I come. I'm a sinner, I'm this. No, no, thou was worthy. Yeah, I know I wasn't worthy, but praise God, Christ came and took my place.
Amen.
Thou art worthy. Amen. To take the book. Amen. Thou art worthy to loose my bands.
Amen.
And we're going to get into these seals. I'm not going to be able to get away from it just from even just doing this today. We're going to have to go that route, I think, the Lord willing.
Amen.
But this was so important to God that He showed that we were in that verse. And He stopped the prophet in his tracks. He said, no, go back. Read that the right way. We were singing that song.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Singing that song that John was singing. And what should this do to us? Let me read a couple things out of here about a man that's really redeemed. Now, we say sin. This is the breach again. We just call it sin. Break it down. What is sin? A lot of people say drinking, committing adultery. Isn't that right? A lot of people go, oh, that's a sin. What does that mean? It doesn't mean anything. Oh, that's a sin. That's a sin. It might be a sin for you. It might not be for this man. What's the dividing line? What is sin? The prophet's going to show us here. Most of you might know this answer. No, drinking, committing adultery, no, that's the attributes of sin. See, that's what sin causes, see. It's just like having symptoms, but you never look at it long enough to find out where they're coming from.
Right.
You have a headache, and you never realize that it's because you're eating whatever you're eating, and that's what's giving you the headache, so instead you just take something to deal with the symptom. You'll never get rid of the cause, you'll keep having it.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? You've got to get deeper than that. So when you look at your life, you go, why did I do that? Why did I get an attitude here? Look, don't try to deal with that. Get to the root problem. Say, Lord, why did that happen? Dissect it for me. Show me what's in my heart. Where did that root of bitterness come from? Where did it start so I can go back and dig it up?
Uh-huh.
Just like a weed. You take a weed. Anybody ever just cut weeds off when you're supposed to be getting them out? Oh, give it a day. They're back full grown. And if you want to put a lot of work and keep pulling that weed and cutting it off, go ahead. But if you'll just one time get down there and grab the thing, get two hands of faith, and rip that thing out of your life, you'll never have to deal with it again.
Uh-huh.
Isn't that the same with our Christian experience? We always want, oh God, you know, I shouldn't have done that, but I'm sorry, blah, blah, and I'm not really going to deal with it. I'm still going to have bitterness or envy and strife and all these things. I'm still going to hold on to that. Well, you might last a day. But then that thing will come back up and you go, oh, Lord, why am I, oh, I'm still dealing with it. Get your hand in faith and say, God, take this wicked thing out of me.
Mm-hmm.
Faith on the Lord that if you say it, He'll take it out of you.
Amen.
What is sin? But real sin is unbelief. You just don't believe. Yes, the man out there, oh, he smokes, drinks, and cusses. What's his problem? Oh, he needs to quit that. Isn't that what a lot of Christians want to do?
Nope.
Oh, go get cleaned up. Go do. You can't clean yourself up. You can't stop being a sinner. You need Christ to come. We need to lead people not to a doctor, not to a church, to a person. And He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's still here right now. And you can miss Him. He can be standing right here. And if you're not spiritually minded, you're thinking about carnal things, you'll never see Him. And you go, the Almighty God was here this morning? I thought there was just a bunch of crazy people and some guy that got up here and yelled and spit a bunch.
Uh-huh.
No. Say, God, bring me up to spiritual mind. Let me see what's really going on. Let me see that you're still sitting on the throne, waiting for those names to be called out of that book.
Sure.
Real sin is unbelief. That's where it's at. It's named and called out. If you're a believer, you don't do those things. But no matter how holy you try to make yourself and how religious you try to be, if you do those things, you're an unbeliever. That's scriptural. If that's your train of life, you just like to partake in those things and you don't never feel no conviction about it, you just go that way and it's like, oh, that's fine. It's scary place to be. The worst condition to be is when you're sinning and you don't care anymore.
Amen.
That's when you need to recognize, man, my conscience is seared or what? Because the only ones that get that way are sinners heading to hell. So I walk around and go, oh yeah, I know I drink and smoke and stuff, but it's all right. God forgave me. That ain't the right attitude to take. A man that even would say he's even trying to be a Christian, he still does those things. I wouldn't believe he's born again. I think that desire should be taken out of him. But if he's a real Christian down in his heart and just ain't been freed yet, he'll feel like dirt every time he does it. That's the way I fell out in the world. It didn't matter. I tried to fit in with all these sinners and do the things they did, and I never had no peace about it. Never. Why? Because that's not my real name.
Amen.
Andrew Crustle, the sinner, was not me. I died. Actually, 10 years ago now or whatever it's been, I died and Christ came alive.
Amen.
And he was always there. Now, when a man's been redeemed, he don't care anymore for scholarship. He don't care for any more of the things of the world, the wisdom of the world. He don't want no choice at all. Christ has been his choice, and that's all of it. He's redeemed, and he just no more wants to lead himself. Anybody that way? You've been changed by the power of God, and you're just done making decisions. Saying, God, every time I try to do something, I mess this all up.
Amen.
Every time. And that's why this song wasn't, I'm worthy because of what you did. No, it's just, thou art worthy, Lord. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for everything you've done. I'm done trying to make decisions. Lord, you make the decisions because you're worthy. And everything you do is right. Come and live in me and make all my decisions.
Amen.
I yield myself. It's the best thing you can ever do as a Christian. Don't ever take no thought of how to do anything. Yield to Christ and he will show you every time.
Amen.
That's how a man that's been redeemed acts. That's a man who's seen this book. Now look what this should do to us. Look what this did to John. Look what this did to the other saints. Let's go to chapter 5, verse 11. Oh my. Verse 11. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. Saying with a loud voice. Man, doesn't that make you want to worship a little bit more? Saying with a loud voice.
Amen.
Even the Bible said it was loud. The loud voice. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessings. And that was what the angels said, and they weren't even part of this.
Amen.
They were just so excited watching the sons of God get redeemed. They were having a screaming fit. Now watch what happens to John. Remember it said the 24 elders were there. The 24 elders, the 12 patriarchs in the Old Testament, and the 12 apostles. Who was the last apostle?
John.
So when he saw the 24 elders standing there, and look, John's over here, and he sees John over there.
Amen.
What do you think that did to him?
Sure.
And he saw the Lamb take the book and redeem him back. And he was standing there in the vision. He said, that's me.
Amen.
That's me. And watch what happens here in verse 13. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, blessings and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. That's the problem with the churches we read before. They just don't know who they are. They don't think they're there.
Amen.
They worried so much trying to struggle to get up to be there. John never did that. He just said, Lord, I just let you leave me in these visions. You just show me what you want to show. And God showed him himself over there saying in glory.
Amen.
Isn't that what the message came to do? Brother Branham said, when you hear this message, when it becomes a revelation to you, you've heard from your theophany. Which is your glory, which is your body, that's a word body. The one that was in God's mind, that body that if you die, you go live in, you're hearing from it. It's coming and talking to you, telling you, you're not a sinner, you're saved. You're not going to hell. You were redeemed before the foundation of the world. When Christ died on the cross, you were on his mind. You were the reason he did it.
Glory to Jesus.
He wasn't doing it for himself, he did it for you, that you wouldn't have to go to hell that you deserved.
Praise be to Jesus. Oh, yes, I believe that.
And when John saw it, he said, blessings and honor and glory and power be unto him.
Amen.
He had a revelation of what this took. He had a revelation of what Christ did for him. And he realized how appreciative he ought to be. He didn't care no more about what his neighbor thought. He didn't care no more about how tired he was. He gave God praise that was due his name.
Amen.
When the sons of God were shouting for joy, it was because they saw this happening.
Amen.
They knew it was going to happen. That though we would be lost, though we've given the sin, the Redeemer will come. And Job saw it back there. He said, I know my Redeemer liveth. And when he stands upon the earth, though the skin worms destroys this body, in my flesh I shall see God.
Yes, I will, amen.
And you will in your flesh too, because this flesh will be changed.
Amen.
Remember what the Bible said? The moment, the twinkling of an eye.
Yes, sir.
This corruption must put on incorruption.
Amen.
This mortal, dying, fragile, hurts. This mortal must put on immortality.
Amen.
And if you die, you'll come up in that body first and you'll come pick this one up and jump in and it'll be glorified. If you're in this one, you'll call for that one to come down here and you'll be glorified. Doesn't matter to me. Doesn't matter to you. I really don't care. I'm just going to be there.
Amen.
Say, Brother Andrew, how do you know you're going to be there? Let me read what Brother Bram says about this. I just love it. Coming out of the breach again. Talking about John here having a good old time. So talk about a jubilee. Talk about a time when the Lamb was walked forth. See, the books even sealed in heaven, the mysteries are. Say, is my name there? Brother Bram, is my name there? I don't know. I hope it is. Why? Because you can't just, I just know it's there because I just know these things. No, you know it by faith.
Amen.
You believe it.
Amen.
You believe that your name's there because of the change that's happened in your life. It gives you faith to lay hold. My name is on that book, and it can never be erased. It can't be changed. It's settled in heaven forever. And the prophet says, I don't know. I hope it is. And that's the scriptural hope to me. It ain't just hope like, oh, maybe it'll be that way. It's hope saying, I know it's there, but one day I'll be a partaker of it.
Amen.
That's what scriptural hope is. That's the difference between hope and faith. Faith is something I have right now. I have faith in my healing right now because I'm well. But say I was sick right now, I'd have faith that I'm going to be well. That's the real hope. Not faith that I might get well, faith that I'm going to be well.
Amen.
You see the difference? Scriptural hope is. And we have a hope of eternal life. Right now, we're dying. Right? Everybody's getting, every day, you're getting closer to death all the time. But in here, there's a hope that one day, I'll have eternal life. I will live an eternal life.
Yes! Amen.
Woo! To where every day is better than the day before. That's the hope of eternal life. That's why the Bible said, lay hold onto eternal life. The hope of our calling. Hold on to it. So when you're going through the hard times, it's so easy, so much easier to look past it.
Amen.
Going, yeah, I know this is a valley. I know this is terrible. But one day, this will be done away. And this little suffering, the Bible said, ain't even worthy to be compared to the glory revealed in us. To what God will do through us. Talk about a jubilee.
Hallelujah, Father. I love you. Praise be to God.
I'm going to finish that quote now. I don't know. I hope it is. But if it is, it was put in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. But the first thing that represented that redemption come the Lamb that had been slain from the foundation of the world. He took the book, glory, opened the book, tore off the seals, and sent it down to the earth to his seventh angel to reveal it to his people. That's why it's so easy to put this together. Everybody wants to say, oh, you're making, you know, Brother Branham's the one that opened the seals. No, he's not. It said right here that Christ opened the seals. He opened it himself. And he sent it down to his angel to give it to us.
Amen.
What were those seven seals about? Christ and his bride.
Yes,
the
sir.
Whole time. That's what it was all about. It was locked away. It was a breach between the sons of God and even the revelation of who they were. They couldn't walk like they were supposed to. But Christ came and he put this breach. He put the bridge between man and God. Because he was God-man. He was both. And he built a bridge back to being God.
Amen.
And that's where that revelation was. And God, this message is so important. If you don't know what it is, feed on it. God sent us this for a reason. It leads you right back to who you were before the foundation of the world. He sent it down to the earth to his seventh angel to reveal it to his people. There you are. Oh my, what happened? The screams, the shout, the hallelujahs, the anointed, the power, the glory, the manifestation. And old John, who had been standing there, our brother, crying. Remember that before? He was sitting there crying. He said he wept much.
Uh-huh.
And look what happened now. Why? He said, everything in heaven and everything in the earth and everything in the sea heard me holler.
Amen.
I like that. Amen.
Amen.
Blessings, honor, and might and power be unto him that lives forever and ever. Talk about a happy time when the seals broke. John must have looked in and seen him pass the curtain in time and said, there's John.
Amen.
Oh there's my, John. That's so happy. Put yourself there. There's Andrew Crustle right there. I can see him by revelation. And if you can't see it, ask him. Ask him to show you. Because if there's anything in here desiring God, the only reason that's there is because God gave it to you.
Amen.
Because there's some people that don't care. They don't care. You can talk to them blue in the face about the things of God. They just walk on like nothing going on. Doesn't matter anything. But if something's gripping you, it says, no, there's something about this. That's what this message did to me. I didn't even know what it was all about. I just started reading. Something was gripping me. Something was pulling me. It's the predestinated seed of God. You were always the son of God. It just took something to break that off. It took something to breach you back to your creator. And that's what Calvary was all about. Praise God. Praise God. Looking for a place to stop. Oh, he was so happy. He said everything in heaven. He must have really cried out, didn't he? Everything in heaven, everything in earth, everything beneath earth, every creature and everything else heard me sing, amen. Blessings and glory and wisdom and power and might and riches belong to him. Amen.
Amen.
Now, Brother Branham, he dealt with the question too. And I don't have it with me, but he said when these seals were taken, he said redemption's over. And you're right. But the second he claims his possession, that's it. Because every name's redeemed. But look, if your name's in there, it's waiting on you.
Amen.
Do you understand? The rapture's not going to happen without one of those names getting redeemed. So if you're a son of God, it has to come to pass. It won't. There's no way to get around it.
Amen.
But a lot of people taking that, so when Brother Branham preached the seals, they thought, well, redemption must be done. Why preach grace anymore? It's done. Aren't you glad it wasn't done 50 years ago? I wouldn't be here today. In two different ways, right? Wouldn't have been here physically, never would have been spiritually. Wouldn't have had a chance in the world. But that's not what he meant. Watch this. There's a difference between sending down the revelation of what it is and actually taking the claim. Coming out of the breach again. I'm going to finish on here. He come forth to take his claim now. Oh my. Comes forth to take his claims. Now he had done the kinsman work. He had come down, become man, died. He had done the kinsman work of redemption, but he had not yet called for his claim. So that's why when you're born again, it identifies who you are now. You can say, I'm a son of God. I know that. But why can't I walk in the glorified body like Adam did? Why can't I speak and do these things and live any way that I feel like? Because he hasn't claimed us yet. We're still restricted by this law of sin that's down here. He hasn't taken the claim and brought us out of the sinful condition. But he has marked us. Remember when the marking angel went through? Amen. And he said he put a seal?
Amen.
He said, don't touch those that I seal.
Amen.
What's the seal now? Amen. The Holy Ghost.
Yes.
And the Holy Ghost comes in. No matter what judgments comes in, doesn't matter what fire's going to come down, what's going to fall apart, you're sealed. It ain't going to touch you.
Amen.
Even down in Illinois, God sent a prophecy down there and says, don't worry. Everything's going to fall apart pretty much. He said, don't worry about any of these things that won't come near you at all.
Amen.
My dad's friend, Stan, remember when those fires went through Colorado? He's a son of God. I believe that with all my heart. Those fires, how far was it? 200 yards from his house?
300 feet
from his house. You know, that about wiped out Colorado. Those fires did. And it went 300 feet around his house and never touched his house. No, that's coincidence, brother. No, it ain't. It's a son of God.
Amen.
And God watches over his own. And he put a little fleet of angels around there and says, no, you stop right here. Go around. Why are we worried about this? Yeah, the world's falling apart. Yeah, there's people bombing stuff and we don't know who did it and all this craziness that's going on. Don't let that bother a Christian. Don't even look at it. Don't pay no attention to it. People want to use that to say, oh, the end of the world's here. The end of the world's here. We've been saying the end of the world's here for 2,000 years because it is here. And it's more today than it was before. But that's not what's holding it back from being over. What's holding it back is somebody ain't saved that's supposed to be saved. Somebody ain't received the Holy Ghost yet that's supposed to have it. And if it's you, you have time.
Amen.
Because God hasn't taken the claim yet, but we wouldn't be here.
Amen.
Now watch, I'm going to finish right here.
Thank you, Lord.
Now he comes on the scene to claim his rights. Watch what takes place. Oh my, for which he was slain. For as becoming a kinsman to die, to man to die in his place to redeem him, but the elder was right when he was, but the elder was right when he was a lion. See, the elder called him and said a lion because he had been a lamb, an intercessor. See, that's what the lamb was about. When he died, a bloody lamb, he was interceding for you. Saying, I know they're sinners, but I'm here to die in their place. And then, you know, Brother Branham one time saw the vision of the earth. And he said there was a realm of blood around the earth. And every time he sinned, it hit that blood. And it would stop it from getting to the Father. And that's what it does for us now. That blood, when you sin and make mistakes, you confess it, it hits that blood so fast, it never gets to God. He never even sees it.
Amen. Amen.
He's our intercessor. That's the lamb. But he's coming as a lion. Now watch this. But now he's coming forth of his line. Oh my, his days of intercession's over. This is when he takes the book now. This is when the redemption's going to happen. When you see the resurrected saints come up, he's taking the book, which means it's done. If you're not in, you're not in. If you are in, you ain't going to miss it.
Amen.
Amen. Let him that's filthy be filthy still. Let him that's righteous be righteous still. Let him that's holy be holy still. The thing is closed. Oh brother, then what? Then what? And remember, it comes at the seventh church age when the mysteries of God will be opened. Now watch real close. This is something you must get. Now he's been doing his mediatorial work, making intercessions for the believer for 2,000 years. He's been back there a lamb. Now he's stepping forth from eternity to take the title deeded book and to break the seals, reveal the mysteries. When of it? At the end time. Do you get it? stand together. What was the message for? What was the breach between us and God? Because we couldn't get back to our title deed. We couldn't find the way back to who we were before the foundation of the world. But that's what redemption was all about. That's why Christ came and became the breach between God and man, because He was the God-man. He breached the way that we could come back. Aren't you grateful this morning?
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, blessed Father. He shall be called the breach.
Thank you, Jesus.
And for a real son of God, as we bow our heads together, for a real son of God that's been born again, let's pray. There's no more breach anymore. If you can put faith in that, that the breach has been annihilated.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
That there's no more between us and God. He took it all with the blood. As we bow our heads together, if you have anything between you and the Father, if you just know in your heart there's a conviction that you need to make something right, or maybe you ain't repented yet of your sins and been born again of the Spirit, I pray that you just bring that need before the Father. I believe He'll hear you if you just ask in a sincere heart. Those of you that have been born again, if you just feel, Lord, I just want to live a little bit closer to You. I want to be changed from where I am. Lord, I believe there's more for me in You, Father. And just lift that request to Him. And as we pray together, I pray You just give Him Your whole heart. Heavenly Father, thank You so much for being our breach, Lord. When we had closed off our bridges, we didn't have a way back because of sin. You and Your grace came down and took our place and built the bridge back up by sovereign grace. Lord, we thank You for dying for us. We thank You for taking our place, Lord. We thank You for Your Spirit here being a witness to us that we are the sons and daughters of God. Lord, where will we be without You? We're so grateful for You, Lord. You are worthy, Heavenly Father. Thank You so much for Your grace and mercy. I just pray, Heavenly Father, Lord, that if there's any redemptive blessing that we're not partaking of, if there's any sickness in this building that's on a son or daughter of God, that, Lord, Your power might be able to move through, Lord, and all those things would be erased. Satan, you're a liar. You have no power over the children of God. We rebuke you out of this place. Satan, you've been telling these people they're lost when they're saved, or telling people they're saved when they're lost. We rebuke you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, have Your way in our lives. Take away any false thought. Don't let us have any thought contrary to this word. And when they come, Father, give us the faith to kick it out of our lives. Lord, if there's anything wrong in our hearts, if there's anything wrong in our lives, I pray by Your Spirit You show it to us. You'd help us to be those real Christians that we ought to be. Thank You for this message. Thank You for sending us the truth. Thank You for breaching the way back to God for us, Lord. We're so happy for it, Heavenly Father. We pray that today, everything we do would just be a rededication in our hearts to You. Lord, we don't serve You because we're afraid of You. We serve You because we love You, and You're so worthy of Your love You've shown us. Thank You, blessed Jesus, for these things. We ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that You be with us, strengthen each one. May we walk just a little bit closer to You than the day before. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen, amen. If you have a need, a desire of prayer, you can come forward. I'll pray with you. We're going to sing a few songs. I got to sing that doubt word. I don't know where it's at, you know. I'll find it in the book here. Like I said, if you have a need, we can pray with you. But I believe that His presence is here. Don't be carnally minded. Don't think it's all over. He's still with us.